हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम गणानां गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं प्रजां मयि सूर्यो भ्राजो दधातु। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम आप्यायन्तु ममांगानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्म उपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मामा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु। तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। उपासनम्, the very word upasanam, you have to remember here. I taught you long ago very clearly, but still today, because we are doing the upasanam now, the upasana section we are discussing. Upa itself means it's a prefix, it's not a separate word, a prefix which means near. Asanam means seat. Or being seated, sitting. Those are called asanam. So, upa asanam means what now? Being seated near. So, being seated near means not physically, placing the attention of the mind near. So, where should our attention of the mind be placed? Only in Ishwaraha, only in Ishwara, the Lord. And Ishwaraha, in here, what is the term used here? Sagunam Brahma. You can say Ishwaraha or Sagunam Brahma. When do you call Sagunam Brahma? Brahma is a word used to mean the reality. Brahman is a word which implies the reality in terms of its nature. The word Brahma, the Nakaranta Napumsakalinga Shabdaha, does not directly reveal the reality. It reveals the reality, implies the reality in terms of its nature of limitlessness. When it says Sagunam Brahma, what does it mean? Brahma itself is enough. But the word Saguna, when you add, it means Ishwara. Same Brahma, the reality, looked upon as the Lord of the universe, then you add this Saguna. The Saguna stands for the power, inseparable, intrinsic power of the reality. Otherwise called Maya. Therefore, Ishwaraha is equal to Maya Upahitam Chaitanyam. Maya Sahitam Brahma. The powerful reality, if you say Sagunam Brahma. The reality, if you say Brahma. We don't need to mention Nirgunam. Nirgunam Brahma or Brahma are the words used to mean just the reality. The Sagunam Brahma means you are saying what now? Adding an adjective to Brahma. Powerful reality. Whether you say powerful reality or reality, reality is still what? Powerful only. But when you explicitly point out powerful reality, Maya Sahitam Brahma, it is Sagunam Brahma. Or simply the reality, you say it's a Brahma. Param Brahma, Brahma, Nirgunam Brahma. Now this is Sagunam Brahma alone. It's called what? Ishwaraha. So what is Ishwaraha again? Ishwaraha is a status attributed to the same reality. When you look at the reality as the powerful reality. When you look at reality, powerful reality means you look at the reality as the cause of the universe. The Ishwara is a status attributed to Nirgunam Brahma, Param Brahma, Brahma Chaitanyam. When you look at the reality as the powerful reality, look at the reality as the cause of the universe. So here Upasanam, when the topic comes, the object of Upasanam, meditation, is always Ishvara, not anything else. If anything else is object of a focus, you cannot even use the term Upasanam, meditation. And when you meditate upon Ishvara, definitely, you are not looking at Ishvara as your own Swarupam. You are not looking at the reality as your own Swarupam. If you, in meditation, if the Ishvara is your own Swarupam, and if the reality, you look at the reality as your own Swarupam, then object of meditation being your own real nature, it is contemplation. If the object of meditation is, you could look at it as Ishvara, but not as your Swarupam, and you invoke that Ishvara is in any other form, not as your Swarupam, that is meditation. If the Ishvara is your own Swarupam, if Brahman is your own Swarupam, it is now Nididhyasanam, it is contemplation. If the Ishvara is seen in any other form, as object of meditation, then you call it meditation. Contemplation and meditation, different I taught you long ago. So this meditation also should result in what? The ultimate result of this practice of meditation, the Shastram says, as prescribed in the meditations prescribed in the Vedanta Shastram or Upanishads, if a person is given to the practice, then ultimately one can go to the highest of the lokas. And it is the highest of the accomplishments also. That is called Brahmaloka. And once going to Brahmaloka, then definitely he attains the knowledge. There also he has to attain Jnanam and he attains Moksha, which is called Kramamuktihi. Kramamoksha or Kramamuktihi. But going to Brahmaloka, one does not return. The Muktihi is again, rebirth is not there. Just as the person who attains Jnanam in this life itself, is called, which is Sadhyo Muktihi, one attains Moksha, Jivan Mukti, and that person also, what now? There is no return. Similarly, the person who goes to Brahmaloka, attains Jnanam also, does not come back. These are things we have to remember. And the last section, which we read here, we understood, the one who practices this particular Daharakasha Brahma Upasanam, Dahara Brahma Upasanam, one who meditates upon Ishvara as one's own, no? As a Dahara, Daharakasha, that person also does not see as one's own Swarupam, but he sees the space as Brahma, Daharam as Brahma, that person also goes to Brahma Loka. And then he becomes one with Ishvara. And having become one with Ishvara through knowledge, all the Ishvara's gunas become his gunas. What is Ishvara's gunas? Who is Ishvara? Ishvara is the reality. What are Ishvara's gunas? Ishvara is free from all limitations. Ishvara is free from pairs of opposites. Ishvara is free from all limitations. And he also attains the Aishwaryam, Ishvaratvam, Ishvara's status. The attainment of Ishwaratvam, not physically really attained, he just takes, when he takes ownership of his own real nature being identical with Ishvara Swarupam, he also is free from all the problems, like Ishvara. That's what we saw in the last class. So Ishvara has no ஜரா நோ மிருத்யு நோ சோகா நோ சுகிருத்தம் நோ துஷ்கிருத்தம் நோ பாப்மானஹா தெர்ஃபோர் அபகத பாப்மா அண்ட் தெர்ஃபோர் திஸ் பர்சன் மெடிடேட்டர் ஆல்சோ பிகம்ஸ் ஒன் வித் ஈஸ்வரா த்ரூ நாலேஜ். யூ கேன் ஆல்வேஸ் பிகம் ஒன் வித் ஈஸ்வரா, நாட் பிசிக்கலி, இன் டர்ம்ஸ் ஆஃப் நாலேஜ் யூ கேன் அட்டைன் ஈஸ்வரா. அண்ட் தேர் பிகமிங் ஒன் வித் ஈஸ்வரா ஆல்வேஸ் இம்ப்ளைஸ் வாட்? Recognizing Ishwara Swarupam, being identical with one's own Swarupam. Or recognizing one's own Swarupam being identical with Ishwara Swarupam, the truth of the whole. This is the only way we can attain Ishwara. There is no other way of attaining God. Okay. It was made very clear in the previous section. And the, today, towards the end of the section, we saw the fourth section. Upanishad, where I stopped actually. One more thing is, Upasaka always has, he has that free movement, in the sense he can move freely at his will, he can go to any other loka also, he can have all his desires, wishes fulfilled. And I'm sure I reminded you of these two words. Upasakaha, a highly accomplished Upasaka is the one who is Satya Kamaha, Satya Sankalpaha, and who also goes to Brahma Loka and Ishwara Praptihi. These are the benefits of practicing meditation. But towards the end of the section, Upanishad slowly introduced this discipline called Brahmacharyam. In order to mention who is the Upasaka who can practice meditation and go to Brahmaloka, attain the Ishwara status, become one with Ishwara, towards the end, just mentioned one who practices the discipline of Brahmacharyam. That's where I stopped last class. It means the person who is strictly given to the discipline of Brahmacharyam, and as practicing this Brahmacharyam, one who practices this Upasana, and he alone can go to Brahmaloka, attain Brahmaloka, attain Ishwara Praptihi, attain the Ishwara, become one with Ishwara. That mention. And what is Brahmacharyam? I explained to you last class. Why I had talked to you about Brahmacharyam again? In the whole of the next section. In the fifth section which we are going to see today, discusses only the discipline of Brahmacharyam. That's why. Shankara Bhagavatpada says in Sanskritam, Stri Vishaya Trishnatyagaha. Stri Vishaya Trishnatyagaha means we have to take Purusha Vishaya Trishnatyagaha. Is it? Being free from the attachment to the opposite sex is called Brahmacharyam here. Not only that, Shastra Acharya Upadesham. Because of this focused attention, the upasaka is also able to attain what? Shastra Acharya Upadesha. He is able to understand subject matter of the Shastram unfolded by the teacher. As a result of which, he attained the Swatma Samvedyatam Apadayanti. They attain the self-knowledge, thereby they become one with Ishwara. This is what is mentioned in the last section. Now we'll go to today's class. Atha yadyajnah itya chakshate brahmacharyameva tad brahmacharyena heva yojnata tam vindate. And his first sentence. And before going to the first sentence, let me tell you one thing. In this section, in this fifth section, Upanishad is going to talk about six sadhanani, six disciplines, and six sadhanani, and six sadhyani, six disciplines, and the results accomplishable through accomplishable by following those sixfold disciplines. Sadhanam sadhyam means and the end. What is the discipline? If there is one given discipline, by following the discipline as a means, what is that end one can attain, accomplish? Means and the end. Sixfold means and sixfold ends are going to be discussed in the sixth chapter, the fifth section. And what Upanishad is going to say again, by following the sixfold disciplines, the sixfold ends which you can accomplish can be accomplished merely by following one discipline called Brahmacharyam. But just by following one discipline called Brahmacharyam, one can attain, one can enjoy the sixfold results accomplishable by following these sixfold disciplines. Why does Upanishad say this? Just to emphasize, the highlight the importance of the discipline of Brahmacharyam, Upanishad says. But when Upanishad presents these sixfold disciplines, sixfold sadhanani, along with the sixfold sadhyani, Upanishad uses the language of pan. No, the pan is called a sleshalankaraha. Sleshalankara means use one word to give two different meanings. I mentioned last class. One word is used to give two different meanings. In Sanskritam we say Vagarthava Samprapto Vagartha Pratipatya. There Parvati Parameshwarau means Shiva and Parvati. Parvati Parameshwarau means Lakshmi Narayana. One word only gives two different meanings. Isn't it? Parvati Parameshwarau. Rama Ishwarau Lakshmi Narayana. Rama Ishwara. Parvati Parameshwara means Shiva Parvati. So one word gives two different meanings, isn't it? So many we have, it's called Sleshalankar. And here, what are all the sadhanani Upanishad mentions here? Let us see here, let me tell you first. The first sadhanam Upanishad mentions is Yajnaha. Yajnaha. So what is the result to be accomplished by part in the discipline of the discipline? That's also yajnaha. Yajnaha is the sadhanam, yajnaha is the sadhyam. Means is the yajna, end to be accomplished also is what? Yajnaha. So what is the means, the yajna as a sadhanam mean, and what does the yajna as an end mean? So, let me tell you here. So, yajnaha means as any form of worship, any worship, any simple Vedic ritual, which is a form of Vedic form of worship, is called yajna. Any simple Vedic ritual, the Vedic form of worship is called yajnaha. So every day if a person performs a Vedic ritual, and as not to thank Bhagavan, as a nitya, as a worship, and what is this discipline, the sadhanam, then what will be the result? And yajnaha is the result. He can attain, yajnaha is name of the Lord. Bhagavan is called yajnaha. In Vishnu Sahasranama, yajna, no? The word yajna comes. Why Bhagavan is called yajna? Because Upanishad means. So even the everyday performing this Vedic, simple Vedic ritual as a form of Vedic form of worship is Brahma, is he, what now? Is actually, what now? Actually Brahmacharya meva. So Brahmacharyam is what now? Equivalent to, is called Brahmacharyam. And by, so that, he says, Yaha Jnata. Ishwara is called Jnat Yajnaha. Why Bhagavan is called Yajnaha? That meaning is different. Yaha Jnata Saha Yajnaha. Now you have tried, now you know the simple pronouns. Yaha Jnata Saha Yajnaha. He who knows is called what? Yajnaha. Yajnaha means omniscient Lord. Yajnaha means the ritual. Yajnaha also means omniscient Lord. Ultimately, worship should culminate in what? In the attainment of Bhagavan in terms of knowledge. By preparing you, etc. Don't direct, not directly, indirectly. Okay. So here, that what first sentence says, Yad yajnaha ityachakshate. Yajnaha, that which is that particular discipline of ritual, which is called yajna, which is the means of attainment of the ultimate end. Not direct, no, through preparation, isn't it? And that is where he says, Brahmacharya meva. So that particular discipline of ritual is also what? Brahmacharyam. Even if you don't perform ritual, if you follow Brahmacharyam, you will get that result. That's the meaning. Brahmacharyena heva yognata. See, I'm not giving the derivation. Upanishad itself gives the derivation of the word yajnaha. Yognata tam vindate. Yognata means yaha jnata. See, reason is yognata. Say now.
Yognata.
We separate it. Yaha jnata.
Saha
yajnaha. Tam vindate means one attains. By practicing this discipline of yajna, one attains yajnaha. And yajnaha means Ishwaraha. Ishwara means yaha jnata. One who knows is called yajna. He who knows is called yajnaha. Because omniscient Lord. Are you understanding or not? Yeah, you have to see the derivation also here. Tam vindate, yaha jnata tam vindate. Evan oruvan arihindravano avane in the yajnam seyiravan adahiran. This person attains the Lord, who is omniscient, who is known by the word yajnaha. Who attains? This person who practices this yajna. Now, not only that person, one who follows brahmacharyam attains yajna. Okay. This is the first sentence. Next. Yadishtam ityachakshate tad brahmacharyena heva ishtva atmanam anuvindate. See, complete different words are used here. Okay. Yadishtam ityachakshate tad brahmacharyena heva ishtva atmanam anuvindate. Okay. Next sadhanam is ishtam. First you came across the word yajna. Now next is ishtam. You have tried down, otherwise you can't understand here. Because Upanishad words are different. Ishtam. Ishtam is also a Vedic ritual only. Ishtam also is a Vedic ritual. So yajnaha is already a simple worship. Ishtam is also a Vedic ritual performed for a specific thing. It's called Ishtam. And suppose Ishtam also means what? Ishtam means a desired end. Ishtam means a desired end is also called Ishtam. Tamil also used to, every language, all Indian languages, we use the word Ishtam, isn't it? Ishtam means also desired end. So if a person is given to the discipline of, or the sadhanam, practice of performing this Vedic ritual. It's called Shrautam Karma. Shrautam Karma means what? Ritual prescribed in the Veda. It's called Yajna, like Ishtam. If he follows Ishtam, then who? What should he attain? What is to be attained? Result is also what? Ishtam. Ishtam will give you Ishtam. Yajna will give you Yajna. And here Ishtam means ritual, Vedic ritual. And Ishtam means the most desired end. What is the most desired? What is the most desirable for oneself? One's own self. What is the most desirable for yourself? If you ask, you can say so many things in the world. To be frank, what is the most desirable for everyone? Ishtatamam. What is this? It is one's own real nature, one's own self, happiness. Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati, isn't it? You may say, I like this, I like this, I like this. Ultimately, why you like all those things? For happiness only. And what is happiness? Your swarupam. So the most desirable, the most desired end is one's own self. If a person practices this ishtam, ishtam means what? Shrauta karma, the Vedic ritual, then definitely it will ultimately give him what? Give him the most desirable self. It's called Atma Yeshana. So ishtam means ritual. Ishtam also means what? Atma Yeshana. Isn't it? Desire for the self. Desire for the self. Even inclination for discovering one's own real nature will come what? Desire for discovering one's own real nature will come only when you know Atma being the only source of happiness, isn't it? Otherwise, we will not be interested. The desire for the self-knowledge, Atma Jnana Ishtam, Atma Yeshana. Yeshana is desire. Desire for the self, desire for the attainment of self in terms of knowledge is possible only when you discover the fact that Atma is the only source of happiness. And even for a person to become inclined for the self-knowledge and thereby to attain the self-knowledge, thereby understand, isn't it? Knowing the self being the only source of happiness, all those things are possible only if you have punyam. And that punyam you can earn by following by practicing this ishtam, the Vedic ritual. Now what Shastram says? You need not follow any Vedic ritual. If you follow brahmacharyam, you can have this ishtaprapti. Got it now? Got second?
Yes.
Now second you have understood. We'll go to the third one now. So what he says, yad ishtam mitya chakshate tad brahmacharyena heva ishtva atmanam anuvindate. So one can attain the self with the only source of happiness, only the most desirable, most desired end in terms of knowledge, by having desire, isn't it? How? By practicing this, by following this ishtam, Vedic ritual. And that one can attain, how? By practicing brahmacharyam. So what can be accomplished by yajna can be accomplished by brahmacharyam, by following brahmacharyam. What can be accomplished by ishtam can be accomplished by following brahmacharyam. Two are over, isn't it? Ishtam gives ishtam, yajna gives yajna. Okay. Third one. Atha. Next mantra. Yat. Santrayanam. Itya chakshate. Brahmacharyameva. Tad brahmacharyena. ஹேவ சத ஆத்மனஸ்த்ராணம் விந்ததே. தேர் என்ஸ் தி சென்டென்ஸ். ஓகே, ஹியர் தி நெக்ஸ்ட் தேர்ட் சாதனம் இஸ் சந்த்ராயணம். இட்ஸ் ஆல் ஃபார் அஸ் டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் தி உபனிஷதிக் டீச்சிங். தட்ஸ் ஆல் சிம்பிள் லெசன்ஸ். சந்த்ராயணம், சந்த்ராயணம், சேனோ சந்த்ராயணம். தேர்ட் சாதனம் இஸ் சந்த்ராயணம். சாரி, சந்த்ராயணம், சந்த்ராயணம் இட் ஆல்சோ மீன்ஸ் சத்ராயணம். ஜென்ரலி இட் ஆல்சோ மீன்ஸ் சத்ராயணம் ஆல்சோ. சத்ராயணம், சந்த்ராயணம், போத். And the word Santrayanam actually is also Vedic ritual only, but it is a Bahu Yajamanakam Yajnaha. It's a huge, it's a very big ritual performed with having many priests, not a simple ritual. It's a big ritual performed with many priests, with the help of many, many priests and involving great expenditure, is performed in a very big scale. Only big kings and then big people can do that. And a simple ritual, Satrayanam or Santrayanam. So the name of the ritual is what? Santrayanam is a sadhanam. Okay, if a person does this Santrayanam, follows this, practices this Santrayanam as a sadhanam, what will be the result to be accomplished? Result also is Santrayanam. You know that. What is the name of the meaning of the word Santrayanam? Another meaning. One meaning of Santrayanam is huge ritual performed in a very big scale, involving great expenditure, with the many, many priests, Bahu Yajamanaka, Yajamanakam, Yajamanakaha Yajnaha. Many priests should be there. Now, the result is, okay, here the Upanishad gives, if you split the word Santrayanam, you get three words. Sataha. First word is what now? Sataha. I'm not giving it. It's not my derivation. Upanishad gives the derivation. Sataha. ஆத்மனஹ த்ராணம் விந்ததே. யூ ஹாவ் ரைட் ஹியர், நோ சாய்ஸ். சதஹ ஆத்மனஹ த்ராணம் விந்ததே. சதஹ ஆத்மனஹ த்ராணம் விந்ததே இதி சந்த்ராயணம். I'll tell you the meaning here now. The another meaning of the one meaning of Santrayanam is a ritual. Another meaning of the Santrayanam is protection, self-protection attained from the Lord. Self-protection attained from the Lord is called Santrayanam. If a person practices Santrayanam, follows Santrayanam, what will be the result he can get? Santrayanam. What is Santrayanam? Self-protection attained from the Lord. Who can protect you? Who can protect you ultimately? Only Bhagavan. Isn't it? Bhagavan is the only ultimate source of protection. Therefore, here he says, Sataha. Sataha means from the Lord. Sataha means from the Lord. Atmanaha means one's own, or self, apostrophe S. Tranam means protection. Sataha Atmanaha Tranam is called Santrayanam. If a person is given to the practice of performing this Santrayanam ritual, as a result of it, ultimately, he can attain Santrayanam. What is it attained here? Thranam. Thranam means protection. Isn't it? Protection, where do you get protection from? Protection from the Lord. Whose protection? One's own protection. So one's own protection from the Lord or self-protection from the Lord is called Santrayanam. That's why Bhagavan is called Trata. Ishwara is called Trata. Trata means protector. Our Chandra, my son's name is Trata. I always say, how living in Guyana, came coming from still Bhagavan. Names are still, they're not forgotten, those names. Isn't it? I always admire how even though they lived away from India for a long, long time, they never left the Hindu Dharma, holding on to that. Trata means protector. The Tranam means protection. Protection. And what is absolute protection? And all the time, Trahi, I think mentioned recently, somewhere, Trahi, Pahi, when you say what? Trahi, Trahi means may you protect. Devi Maha said, yeah. Trahi, isn't it? Bhaye bestrahi no Devi, Durge Devi namostute, at all that meaning, isn't it? So Trahi, Trahi, protection means, only two things can protect you in the life. What two things can protect you? Knowledge is the absolute protection. Nothing else in the world will protect us. Artha is needed for living this life, only relative. Kama relatively can help you escape. Absolute protection is, ultimate protection is knowledge and the knowledge of Bhagavan. Isn't it? Therefore, Bhagavan is the only source of protection. Then relative protection, living a life of dharma, then also under your will to Bhagavan, there is relative protection. So dharma will protect us relatively, absolutely Bhagavan will protect us. So here, sataha atmanaha tranam. What is the meaning of the word? Sataha, say?
Sataha.
Atmanaha tranam. If it is the... This is the derivation of the word santrayanam. If you take the word santrayanam, if you split it, what is the meaning you get? Sataha. Say.
Sataha.
This is where Sanskritam is important. Isn't it? Sataha. Sataha means from Ishvara. From Bhagavan. Atmanaha, one's own. Or the self apostrophe. Selves. Tranam, protection. So, attainment of protection, self-protection from Bhagavan is the meaning of the word Santrayanam. So, Santrayanam is the name of the ritual. Santrayanam is the result also. Sadhyam also. Sadhanam and Sadhyam. Should remember both. Is it boring little bit? Little bit boring. It's okay. You can't help. Okay, next. Okay, now read the sentence now. Atha
yat
santrayanam itya chakshate brahmacharyameva tad brahmacharyena hyeva Sataha
Atmana
Atmanastranam
Vindate.
Okay, now he says, Satrayanam, why should you think of collecting lots of rich, many, many priests, spend lot of money and perform this ritual? Brahmacharyam, follow Brahmacharyam, you can enjoy the benefit of Santrayanam. Satrayanam, Santrayanam. Both words are there. Okay. Next discipline is the letter said
Yan Maunam
Itya Chakshate
Brahmacharyameva
Tad Brahmacharyena
Heva
Atmanam
Anuvidya
Manute
Brahmacharyena
Heva Atmanam Anuvidya Manute. Next sadhanam is Maunam. சோ யஜ்ஞஹா இஷ்டம் சந்த்ராயணம் நௌ மௌனம். மௌனம், வாட் இஸ் மௌனம்? நாட் சிம்பிளி நான் ஸ்பீக்கிங் அலோன், இட்ஸ் நாட் சைலன்ஸ். இன்டர்னலி பி மேக்கிங் லாட் ஆஃப் நாய்ஸ் இன் சம்டைம்ஸ் யுவர் பீப்புள் ஆர் ஸ்பீக்கிங் மீன்ஸ் பெட்டர் இசன்ட் இட்? மௌனம் மீன்ஸ் ஹியர் வாக் தபஸ், டிசிப்ளின் இன் டர்ம்ஸ் ஆஃப் ஸ்பீச் இசன்ட் இட்? சோ மௌனம், பீயிங் கேர்ஃபுல், open your mouth and we are speaking means we are 100% conscious of what we are speaking and why we are speaking, when we are speaking, where we are speaking, to whom we are speaking, who we are speaking to, is it relevant, irrelevant, useful or not useful, beneficial for the speaker or for the listener. If you think all these things, consider, take into account and speak, we will speak very little. Isn't it? We are conscious. So, maunam. So, literally maunam means silence. Isn't it? Now, what is the result of the maunam? If we practice this discipline called maunam also, the result is also what? Maunam. Maunam will give you maunam. Yajna will give you yajna. Santrayanam will give you santrayanam. Isn't it? Now maunam will give you maunam. What is maunam? Maunam is atma jnanam. Self-knowledge. The contemplative disposition and also maunam is self-knowledge. So he says, literally maunam is silence. So here, by remaining, by following this discipline of maunam, if a person following means definitely, sishya acharyabhyam atmanam anuvidya, by discovering the self through the study of the shastram with the help of the teacher, you know, then one becomes contemplative upon one's own self, or attains jnanam. That is the meaning of the word maunam here. So, attainment of self-knowledge. Now, ascertainment of the self through the study of the shastram with the help of the teacher. It's called maunam. It's not my meaning, okay? Adi Shankara Prabhupada gives, I'm telling you the meaning. Therefore, what is maunam? Maunam also is brahmacharyam. Santrayanam means brahmacharyam, maunam means brahmacharyam, yajna means brahmacharyam. Now, just to emphasize. See, one understands the self, understands this the self of everything as one's own self. How does one understand self? Through shastra study. How does one study? With the help of the teacher. Shastra adhyayanena acharya sahayena. Isn't it? So what he Shankara says, shastra acharyabhyam. From the shastram unfolded by the teacher, one understands the self. And having understood the self, one becomes contemplative upon the self. And as a result of contemplation, one has what? Ascertained vision of the self. One who have ascertained vision of the self, and what is there for you to talk? Will you talk then? Isn't it? Because, to be frank, Shastram says, see, in the relative context to live in this world, day-to-day life, we need to talk to each other. We need to communicate to each other. Isn't it? We need to communicate. The very language itself is for what? To express our thoughts. We need means of communication, words. So this is bhasha. The language itself is for us to communicate, to make us understand each other. You know, it's very useful, very important. But if we use that means of communication only for, you know, for necessities, only for a purpose of communication, then there's no problem. But we have to use it also for everything, isn't it? So here Shastram says, ultimately, if we use that only for the purpose of using it, we only speak what we need to speak, only speak what is beneficial for the, useful for the listener or the speaker. You only, isn't it? They only speak what is relevant, not everything. So then the truth, not is like unnecessary we avoid. Like this we speak, then our speech will become very, very little. And that discipline ultimately will result in what? You can save all that energy. Definitely you are very conscious. Living a conscious life itself is a big discipline. Thereby it will contribute for preparation for knowledge soon. One can attain the jnanam. Once you attain the jnanam, then what happens? There is a sense of fulfillment. In fullness, they need not be speak much. The more we speak, also Shastram says, it's expression of some emotional problem. According to Shastram, really. So, maunam will result in maunam. The maunas means the sadhanam. The ultimate result is what? Self-knowledge is also maunam. Okay. And that how can attain? Brahmacharyam will help you attain maunam. Okay, next. How many are over now?
Four.
Okay. Atha yad anashakayanam itya chakshate brahmacharyameva tadesha hyatma na nashyati yam brahmacharyena anuvindate. There ends the sentence. Now, the next discipline is what? Next is sadhanam or sadhana is anashakayanam. Anashakayanam is the next discipline. So, anashakayanam. We say, see, there's a root ash. No? Ash is a root. Ashnati means eats. Ashanam means what? Eating. Ashnati eats. Ashanam means eating. Ashakaha means, is it? Eater. One who eats is called Ashakaha. And Anashaka Ayanam. Anashaka Ayanam means Anashaka Ayanam. Anashaka Ayanam. Anashaka Ayanam means being given to the discipline of fasting, non-eating. Not every day, okay? Ekadashi. Shivaratri. Some occasions we fast, isn't it? Ramadan. I don't know whether people are fasting. Either. I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know. It comes to mind. Okay, Ekadashi is a proper fasting. Okay, not overnight also don't eat, day also don't eat. Ekadashi, Shivratri. Okay, if you don't eat. Anashakayanam means anashakayanam, anashaka, anashaka ayanam, anashakayanam. Means that being given to the discipline of non-eating, fasting. Upavasaha. Anashakayana means upavasaha. This is not end of everything, okay? Anashakayana means a discipline. See, what Shastram wants to say here is, any discipline you follow, ultimately it's all for preparing your mind for knowledge of the truth. Whatever you do, you can call a discipline, any practice a discipline, only if it contributes for disciplining the mind. And disciplining the mind means what? Mind which is prepared for knowledge is a disciplined mind. A prepared mind is called what? Emotionally undisturbed, relatively pure mind is what? A prepared mind. A prepared mind, a pure, relatively pure and steady mind is the prepared mind. And the prepared mind is what now? Now mind which is ready for jnanam, qualified for knowledge. That mind. So whatever you do, if whatever you do contributes for preparing the mind for jnanam, only then you can call it a discipline. If it is a discipline, you can call it a yoga. Isn't it? Any discipline, if it contributes for the preparation of the mind only, you can call it a discipline, you can call it a yoga. So here, upavasa is also what? Oh, if you follow upavasa, I can attain bhagavan or what? It prepares the mind for jnanam, thereby, through jnanam, it will help you attain the ultimate end. So here, now next, Janashakayanam is for practicing the sadhanam, discipline of this fasting. The anashakayanam should result in what? Attainment of anashakayanam. Anashakayanam is the name of the end also. And what is the next meaning of anashakayanam? Okay, that's a different meaning. Okay, anashakayanam there, isn't it? There, anashakayanam. Nashakaha means what? Destruction. Okay, anashakaha means indestructible reality, the Lord. Here, anashaka here, not eating. There, anashaka. Puridhanga. Anashakaha. Anashakaha means indestructible Ishvara, the Lord. Ayanam means what? Attainment. Attainment of the indestructible Lord. Aivatra parambarulai adidal. Attainment of the indestructible Lord. See, Atma na nashyati. Atma na nashyati. Atma does not perish. Therefore, imperishable Atma is called what? Imperishable Lord is called what? Anashaka. And Ayanam means attainment. If we follow this discipline of fasting, this will contribute for preparing the mind for the attainment of knowledge. Thereby you can attain the knowledge. And you attain whom? Attain imperishable self, imperishable Lord. Yeah. So anashakayanam will lead you to anashakayanam. And then how you can attain? Brahmacharyena. So brahmacharyam eva. Anashakayanam brahmacharyam eva. Anashakayanam is what? Brahmacharyam. By following brahmacharyam, you can attain by what? You can attain by fasting. Okay, next one.
Yad anashakayanam mithya chakshate. Brahmacharyameva tadeshahyatma na nashyati yam brahmacharyena anuvindate.
Okay, there ends the sentence. Next sentence begins now.
Atha yad aranyayanam itya chakshate brahmacharyameva tad arascha ha vai nyascha arnavau brahmaloke tritiyasyam itah divi.
Let me tell you what it is here. Next discipline is Aranyayanam. finished last, okay? Now nothing more. What sixth sadhanam? Aranyayanam. See, these are all, don't take them as very serious things, okay? These are all very, very simple practices. Now, for our own upliftment, our own refinement, our own preparation, our own disciplines, you know, we have all these certain disciplines, simple basic disciplines. See, if simply fast, now people, nowadays people are not even eating. I know some people who are so conscious of looks, hardly eat. When I see them, I feel, oh my God. Nice to see them, thin, slim beauties, but they don't eat anything. Very difficult. For us, we need to eat. No. The goal is different. I see them. Hardly they don't. They get tapas. Huh? They're very tapas. They eat something and they also go work out. They lose. What is the purpose of remaining slim? We're not eating much. Be careful. Working out. Looks. Why? They seek joy where? Through looks. Isn't it? Maintaining the figure. Of course, maintenance of health is very, very important. We should not be overeating. You know, that's true. That's also important. But just for the sake of remaining slim and having good looks, you know, because that is some joy. Because that's also very important, isn't it? So, purpose is what? Not mental preparation. Then it is not a upavasa, isn't it? That is a different thing. Very good. Upavasaha means what? Upavasa means your fasting means you are not thinking of food. Then what are you thinking of? Bhagavan. Only when you're fasting, you think only of food, not Bhagavan. Isn't it? you have no time even to think of food. Why? Because all you're thinking of Bhagavan. The mind is totally focused in Bhagavan means you have no time for eat food. If you don't think of food, isn't it? That is what. Sometimes when you get so engrossed in something, you forget eating, like our Rajniji. Now he'll have brunch in the midnight. And the whole day working, you have no time. Because you're so focused in something what you're doing, you forget eating also. That is a different thing. Like here, in the same way, if you're able to be contemplative upon Bhagavan's Rupam like that, then you forget your food. That is what? Upavasa. Now, that's not practical every day. You become very weak. So, at least once in a while, Shastram prescribes such things, disciplines. So, if we practice, such a practice, what my God, if one day, in once a month, one Ekadashi, you are fasting, and then that whole day, I try my best to place my mind only in Bhagavan. No, even the mind goes here and there, again, bring the mind back to Bhagavan. Will fast, they watch television and do that, you know. Only in one thing, if we can keep this amazing sadhanam. Such a serious practice of sadhanam definitely contribute for mental preparation. Then purushartha nischaya must be there. With the purushartha nischaya, with the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, with the commitment to the moksha, all the time, desperately, I want moksha, I need to discover moksha, I need jnanam, I want jnanam, I'm living this life for moksha, jnanam. With that commitment, anything you practice, that sadhana will become what? Result in attainment of, ultimately contribute for mental preparation, and which will definitely result in the attainment of knowledge, which is moksha, isn't it? Otherwise, this is meaningless. So here what Upanishad says? Upanishad says all these different disciplines. So, disciplines are prescribed here. Not, they're all great. Not every, this must be followed. Different disciplines are prescribed. Do this. That is one of them. So here, this is Anashakayanam is over. Now next discipline is Aranyayanam. Aranyayanam. Aranyam means forest, isn't it? Ayanam means going. Aranyayanam. Aranya plus ayanam. What is now? Savarna Dirga Sandhi, isn't it? Aranya plus ayanam. Aranyayanam. Anashaka plus ayanam, anashakayanam, aranyayanam. So aranyayana means aranya gamanam. There's a discipline, there's a being given to this, a specific discipline of going to the forest and living there. It is not compulsory, okay? Don't think of search for the forest now. One of such things was that, at least once in a, you know, occasionally go away from home and live there, not a holiday, okay? We are resorts. Holiday resorts we look for. It's not a holiday resort, actually speaking. Going, you know, it's all generally for men. Certain things are not prescribed for women. Meet with the question, why not women? Why can't we go? I'm just saying, okay, there is some discipline. Women can be there at home comfortably. They don't need to. If a man go, the home becomes what? Aranyam only for a woman. So women need not go. But men cannot make a home aranyam. Okay, they had to go away. Therefore, that's why women need not go. So men get to go to aranyam. It's not always. So, what I'm saying, aranyayanam is the, because when people says, I should, some people are very seriously taking it, then I should go to aranyam. It dosed it. Are you fasting every day? Not every day. At least ekadashi, na? There are certain things, so many sadhanani are prescribed in the shastram. So here aranyayanam, this the being given to the discipline of going and living in the forest. Aranyayanam. Aranyayanam will give you what? Aranyayanam. Aranyayanam is the sadhanam. Sadhyam is also what? Aranyayanam. Aranyayanam is another word for Brahma. Brahma Loka. Aranyayanam is another word for Brahma Loka. Aranyam means forest. Aranyam also means Brahma Loka. So Aranya Ayanam, by following his practice of, you know, discipline of going and living in the forest, will help, ultimately help us attaining Brahma Loka. Aranyam is equal to Brahma Loka. Ayana means attainment. Attainment of Brahma Loka. Another meaning of the word Aranyayanam is what? Brahma Loka Prapti. Attainment of Brahma Loka. Aranyam is equal to Brahma Loka. Isn't it? So this discipline also will help you. You see, that's why everything will be meaningful only if there's a Purusharth Nischaya. Isn't it? With the Purusharth Nischaya, knowing the value of the knowledge, okay, I'm studying Shastram, and so let me go and be alone quietly for contemplative, such things, not compulsory for everybody, okay? Don't take it seriously. Then that also will result in what? A seriously, no, anything you do seriously, with the Purusharth Nischaya, with the commitment to the knowledge, it will give you a tremendous amount of mental refinement. Then jnanam is possible. Anything practiced seriously with Shraddha will give result in mental refinement, mental steadiness, calmness. Then knowledge is conducive for the knowledge. Then study will give you, knowledge will be effective. So now the question is, how does the word Aranyayanam mean Brahmaloka Praptihi, attainment of Brahmaloka? So attainment of Brahmaloka means what? Attainment of Bhagavan. Attainment of Bhagavan means what? Attainment of knowledge. Attainment of knowledge means attainment of moksha, krama muktihi. Isn't it? So here, it seems there are two oceans in the Brahmaloka. Don't ask me whether I went and saw. Okay? Upanishad says, I'm only repeating like a parrot. He says, Tad araha. There are two oceans. Aranavaha. Aranavaha means ocean. And Brahmaloke, which is Brahmaloka, the third world from this earth. This is Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka. Tritiyasyam Loke. Itaha Tritiyasyam Divi. It seems Brahmaloka is the third in the list from this world where we are living. We are living in the Bhuloka, number one. Count this as a number one. What is number two? Bhuvarloka. What is the next third? Suvarloka. Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha. So from here if we count, Tritiyasyam Divi. From this world of mortals where we live, the third in number is what? Brahmaloka. Don't, not next third, mean very close, okay? Don't think very, very close to yours. Brahmaloka. In that Brahmaloka, there are two Arnavau. Arnavaha, Arnavau, Arnavaha. Remember, Arnavau means, Arnavaha means ocean. Where did you come across this word Arnavaha earlier? Okay. Don't remember now, wait. Arnavaha means ocean. And the two Arnavas, two oceans, Arnavau, isn't it? Are called, one is Araha, another is Nyaha. Araha, Nyaha. Say? Araha, Nyaha. Aranyaha. Araha, Nyaha are the names of two oceans in the Brahmaloka. The word Brahmaloka is also called what? Aranyam. Why Brahmaloka is called Aranyam? Because there are two oceans known as Araha and Nyaha, and two of them together called what? Aranyam. Therefore, Brahmaloka is also called Aranyam. You have to give all the details, isn't it? It's just a more fun class, this is not a serious class. Araha plus, we can say, we had it, Chandogya Upanishad, the 8th chapter Upasana section, when the Brahmacharya is highlighted, emphasized, Upanishad talks about all these things. Just to know, it's all important to know sometimes. So, Araha and Nyaha are the names of two oceans in the Brahmaloka. Is there Brahmaloka? And is there a place? Is there ocean? Are the two oceans? Are they called Araha and Nyaha? Upanishad says, I'm only repeating. Therefore, Brahmaloka is called what? Aranyam. So, Aranya Ayana means one will go to ultimately Brahmaloka. If you go to Brahmaloka, then what will happen there? Definitely, helplessly, you will attain Jnanam. Once you attain Jnanam, attain the Krama Mukti. Therefore, Aranyayanam means going to Brahmaloka. So, one Aranyayanam means going to the forest and living there. And the result of Aranyayanam is what? What sadhyam? What is to be accomplished by practicing this discipline of Aranyayanam? Aranyayanam only. Attainment of Brahmaloka. Now, what does Upanishad say finally? Okay, there's a description of Brahmaloka comes. Look at this. Let's see the mantra again. Yade aranyayanam itya chakshate brahmacharyameva. Even this aranyayanam, going to the forest and living there itself, is a given form of discipline, and even that discipline also is what? Brahmacharyam. By following Brahmacharyam, you can have that result. Now, what is the result that you can have? Aranyayanam. Brahmaloka, attainment of Brahmaloka. Look at the next sentence. Tad arascha ha vai nyascha arnavau. What I said, araha and nyaha. Araha and nyaha. What are these araha and nyaha? The two names of Arnavo oceans. The two oceans. And where are those oceans? Brahmaloke. These two oceans are in Brahmaloka. Therefore, Brahmaloka is called what? Aranyam. And what is the Brahmaloka? Tritiyasyam itaha divi. From here, from this world where we live, it is the third. If it is in the third world, third loka, when we count from the world where we live is number one, bhuhu. Second is bhuvaha. What is above bhuvaha? Suvaha. Isn't it? That is the Brahmaloka. Divi. Now he says, tad airam madiyam saraha. Now he talks about the Brahmaloka. It's all just understanding, okay? And he goes to Brahmaloka. Now the next rest of the mantra, sentence in the mantra, won't describe the Brahmaloka. It seems, airam madiyam saraha. There is a lake. Not only these two oceans are there, there is also a lake, a pond, saraha. And that saraha is what now? Airam madiyam. That pond is what now? Filled with. The pond is filled with madiyam. Madiyam means unmadam. Very horripilating, exhilarating, you know, with fermented rice gruel. Aira means rice gruel. Rice gruel is called airam. How do they make a rice gruel? Who make it? Who makes it? How they fill? Don't ask me all those things. But he says what? See, airam means anything pertaining to rice is called airam. Because rice is called ira. It's a food actually, food, you can say. Ira means food. Airam means anything pertaining to food. And here airam means actually some liquid food. Food in liquid form. Something like rice gruel. Arisikkanji madri, something like rice gruel, a liquid of food in liquid form. And there is a lake in that Brahmaloka filled with that liquid food in liquid form, and which is supposed to be, if anything ferment is what now, will make you dull, isn't it? Also, but here it's not, something doesn't say that, something very, you know, which makes you feel elated or something like that. Some makes you happy, joyous of it. So, madiyam, airam, saraha, the lake, pond, filled with this thing. That's also there in the Brahmaloka. There, not only that, tad ashwattaha. There's also ashwatta tree in the Brahmaloka. The ashwatta tree is called soma savanaha. Okay, soma savanaha. There's a pond or lake filled with the food in liquid form, and which is really then there is also ashwattaha, the ashwatta tree, and which is called soma savanaha. The name of the ashwatta tree in Brahmaloka is called soma savanaha. You may ask me, do I really need to know all the names of Ashwatta tree in Brahmaloka, etc.? Upanishad says, let us understand it with reverence. Soma Savanaha. And in that place, okay, then that there, that the Aparajita Puhu. Puhu means a city, Puram. Puhu is another word for Puram. Puram is a simple word, we all know. We also use it, isn't it? In India, everywhere we have this word Puram. But here, Puhu means it is a city. And what the city is called Aparajita. Aparajita means non-defeatable, non-conquerable. Not easily conquerable. This Aparajita is the name of the city. In Brahmaloka, there is Airam, Saraha, Somasavana, Sashvatha tree called Somasavanaha, there a city called Aparajita. In that city, what now? There is a golden palace, Mandapam, Hiranmayam, Sauvarnam, and Prabhu Vimitam. Whose palace that is? Whose Mandapam that is? City of Brahman. Brahman's city is there. And Brahmanaha Puhu. Finished. Brahmanaha Puhu, city of Brahman, is there. In the city of Brahman, there is a Hiranmayam Mandapam. There is a, Shankara has adds the word Mandapa. There is a place, there is a big palace-like place, golden palace-like place, Prabhu, again established by Prabhu Vimitam, Nirmitam, isn't it? Established by whom? Prabhuna Viseshena, by Lord Himself. Established by, specially established by Lord Himself. Nobody else can build such, okay? God has built by Bhagavan Himself. Hiranmayam Savarnam Bhuvimitam Mandapam Iti Vakya Sesha. Shankara adds this. Okay. It's all description of Brahmaloka. There is one lake. It is filled with what now? A liquid, a nectar-like thing. And an Ashwatha tree called, you know, Somasavanaha. And there is a Puhu, Aparajita, non-conquerable city of Brahman. In that non-conquerable city of Brahman, there is a Savarnam, golden, palatial place, and is built by Viseshena Prabhuna Mitam Nirmitam. The Lord Himself, it has been constructed and built by Lord Himself specially. There is a city. And then one can go to that. Going to that Brahmaloka is called what? Aranyayanam. Go in there, what do you do? Do you come back again? Will you come back? No. You attain jnanam, attain moksha. Now what does Upanishad want to say here? Therefore, if you finish that mantra, the class is over. Okay? Tadya Eva Tadya Eva Itavaram Cha Nyamcha Arnavau Brahmaloke Brahmacharyena Anuvindanti Teshameva Yeshaha Brahmalokaha Tesham Sarveshu Lokeshu Kamacharo Bhavati Iti Panchamah Khandaha. So what here he wants to say is Tadi Ye Yeva Etau Aramcha Ye Te Tadi Ye Eva Etau Arancha Nyamcha Arnavau. So they alone go to this Brahmaloka where these two oceans, isn't it? Aramcha Nyamcha. First he said Arahacha Nyascha, isn't it? So Aranyam. These both oceans are there, the Brahmaloka. And how do they go there? Brahmacharyena Anuvindanti. They attain by being given to the discipline of Brahmacharyam. By following this discipline of Brahmacharyam, is it? They attain Brahmaloka, which can be attainable by following Aranyayanam, discipline of Aranyayanam. So Aranyayanam will give you Aranyayanam. Santrayanam will give you Santrayanam. Anashakayanam will give you Anashakayanam. Yajna will give you Yajna. Ishtam will give you Ishtam. We have to get two meanings, isn't it? By giving these two, what Upanishad wants to say here is, ultimately, by practicing brahmacharyam discipline, one discipline, you can attain the result of, isn't it, following all these six disciplines. That is the teaching of this lesson. So, if a person goes to Brahmaloka, attains jnanam there, not only attains jnanam, attains kama mukti, even all other, he can freely move at his will, he can fulfill all his desires. He can get all his desires, not by really physically doing something, by his sankalpa. By thinking of those things. Here ends the Panchamaha Khandaha, sixth section. That's why I said, when you read this also, don't get confused. Be very careful about all these things. One thing, Shankara Bhagavad Pada everywhere, even though he is commenting upon these mantras, discussing the upasanam, everywhere he mentions Shastra Acharya Upadeshena. Shastra Acharya Upadeshena. Which means, he emphasizes ultimately moksha praptihi, attainment of moksha is only through the attainment of knowledge. Knowledge is freedom, and for knowledge you need definitely Shastra Pramanam. Knowledge of the truth is moksha, for which you need the means of what you called Shastram, and which has to be understood through the systematic study with the help of the teacher. This one thing he always emphasizes. And any other discipline is only what now can only contribute for mental preparation. Only the preparation also is a meaningful preparation, only the commitment, the pursuit of knowledge is there. Without the Purusharth Nischeha, without the commitment, the pursuit of knowledge, even if you want to prepare your mind for what? Mental preparation is for what? If we say moksha, only through jnanam. Preparation is for jnanam. Jnanam is for moksha. Isn't it? And all the disciplines are for preparation. So what is for what must be clear. All the disciplines, whatever discipline you practice, follow, whatever karma you do also, ultimately for mental preparation. Preparation is for jnanam. Jnanam is for moksha. This must be very clear. Nothing, no discipline can directly give you moksha. Directly give you jnanam. You can never skip any of the steps in the ladder. That is Shankara emphasizes. Is it clear? Okay, now you can have your tea and come back for the chanting class. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harih Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harih Om.